roots, evil roots, the Bible says. There's the greed, the love of money is the root of all evil. And the other one is bitterness. And I really believe that guilt is an atmosphere that causes those roots not to be completely uprooted. So there's still some nourishment going to seeds from your past, things that have happened to you, words that have been spoken that don't completely lose their strength until we destroy this guilt. Think of guilt as the atmosphere that feeds those seeds of evil. So bitterness is thinking guilt is the fertilizer. That's probably a really good word for it. Okay, the two seeds, and we got teaching on this. You really need to understand this. One is the love of money is the root of all evil. So the whole world system is based on taking care of self, financially making everything work. I mean, the whole hierarchy we've been talking about, and everybody's contending for superiority. Everybody's contending. So instead of trusting God and knowing, like the scriptures tell us, and I'm not going to get those scriptures, but we got tapes once again on that. But the scriptures, well, he'll take care of you. Take care of the birds. He'll take care of us. As long as we use this guilt, or this guilt has been involved in this area of our life, it will be really hard to completely trust God for finances, for all the bills being paid, for taking care of every one of our needs. This is really powerful because I did not realize how big a deal this guilt thing was until God's really unfolding it to me as we're preaching this this weekend. Think of guilt truly, truly, really as the fertilizer. It's a really good way to see it, as the fertilizer that keeps those roots of bitterness and the love of money still operating in our hearts, even after we have the truth to set us free. And I'm believing God's going to pull up some roots. And so I really see where I've used guilt. I had no idea how much I used guilt until this conference. Thank you in front of everybody. Man, I love God because, boy, I love him. But you really ask him to show you something, and he really does. It's like, it's so funny. It's like the revelation about this is just opening up. And as soon as I think it's over, it opens up more. And I think it's over and it's opening up more. And so I know if it's opening up for me, I could do this alone between me and God. So I'm really sure it's going to help a lot of other people open up, including those who are here, but also those who get this tape, because I have a feeling this is going to be one of those conferences that everybody's going to have to almost get to really get free. So I need you to see that any area in your life that you operate it using guilt is an area that's not completely free until you repent of using guilt in that area. But it's there until you get the root out, completely destroy the root. It always has that tendency to come back and try to resprout. And God wants the roots out. And I really do believe, I think that Penny said, you know, sounds like guilt is the fertilizer for these two roots of evil. I believe it is. The sin is the fruit. The sin is what's produced because of these seeds. But what keeps them reproducing, what keeps them there, you can get rid of the sin, hate the sin, repent of the sin. But if you hang on to the guilt, you keep on empowering these seeds of bitterness. Bitterness is thinking that God messed up. All bitterness goes back to thinking God messed up. All low self-esteem is bitterness. If you have low self-esteem, you are bitter. Somewhere deep inside, if you take the chain all the way back, you think God did something wrong because you don't understand him. You may, and just because you bought a lie that you're so messed up, he had no options, you don't understand how powerful he is. You don't understand how great he is. You don't understand. He doesn't make junk. He didn't mess up when he made you in his image and his likeness. He means it. You are made in the image and the likeness of God, and there is no reverent fear of the Lord for you to put yourself down. Putting yourself down is not humility. Putting yourself down is pride. It's complete independence from God who made you. It's the creation saying to the creator, you made me, you messed me up, but I was so messed, I so deserve to be messed up, I understand. I mean, you don't tell the one who made you that he made you messed up but somehow you have some kind of power to be messed up without, you know, like, it doesn't even make sense. You either have to realize deep in my heart, I believe that God made a mistake when he made me. And that's why I am so evil or mean or hurting or wicked. And that's bitterness. That's a lie. He did not make you like that. Satan got in and perverted what he made. And Satan has been defeated. Satan has been defeated, completely defeated. And you have to start agreeing with truth. But guilt is that fertilizer. Like the guilt is that fertilizer that keeps that bitterness coming back. So when something goes wrong or you fail or you make a mistake or someone says something to you that stirs up that guilt empowers the lie of the enemy that you've believed about God. And the Lord wants that gone. He wants that gone. Greed, the other seed, taking care of self. If I don't do it and take care of myself, nobody will. Which is part of bitterness. Can't trust God to do it. It's either bitterness or it can be pride. Then who needs God to do it? I got all it takes to take care of myself. I don't need a crutch. I don't need Christianity as a crutch. So they have no understanding. So greed was really strong in my family, much more than bitterness. Some people have the bitterness thing, but not with me. That was just not a real strong seed in my life. But the greed was the taking care of self. And so that seed with guilt, I operated in that guilt to cause my sons to not take from their father what I felt I should have or whatever, however it is, whatever your situation is. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God wants it blown out of there, so he's in charge. This is so exciting because, you know, when you start getting the seeds out, you won't keep repeating when you go after the seeds and the roots. And now you get the fertilizer off. It's almost like this. It's like a guilt keeps those seeds there, even if no life is coming to them for a while. But every time the enemy can make you feel guilty, he can empower those things. He can empower those things. And then you feel like you're dealing with stuff you've already dealt with. Okay? So God wants us to be free from this. I'm so excited. Even in the midst of my humbleness and brokenness here, I'm so excited because when you get to that thing that God wants to deal with in your heart, everything changes, folks. And so when you get to a place where it's not changing, when you get to the place where your relationship with your husband or with your children or with people you work with and none of it's changing and nothing seems to be working, it's because there's still something deeper in you that God wants to set you free from to have authority. Isn't that exciting? That's how there's absolutely, you won't be a victim. Poor me has no authority. It's like, wow. I had no idea I was operating in guilt. Remember, it's not sin till he reveals it to you as sin. You're not out of God's will till he reveals it. If at this point I continue to use guilt with a revelation of what it is, it would be sin for me now. But up to now, it was sin, but it wasn't held against me because I didn't know about it to take it to the cross. But I know about it now. Don't get guilty over hearing how bad this is. Get excited. There's no condemnation in Christ. Why is there no condemnation in Christ? Because until the Holy Spirit reveals something to me, it's not going to be revealed to me. I can't figure out everything. The law can't do that. I can't go through the whole Bible and try to come up with everything I'm supposed to get rid of. Even if I'm not even capable of seeing it to ask God to get rid of it, I'm only capable of letting it be revealed to me and then me hating what he hates unless it's blatant sin that's so clearly defined in the Word of God. Don't do another little cop out and say, well, you know, until God really shows me in his word that, you know, drinking alcohol and getting drunk is a sin, I'm not going to worry about it. No, he's not talking about that. If it's in there and it says put this away, then when you read that, you go to him and he'll help you put it away. But this thing of guilt is not on a list that says put guilt away from you. It's something that's supposed to be destroyed when you put your sin on the cross. And what I'm realizing, our salvation for many of us has been put it on the cross, but hang on to the fertilizer that keeps the lies of bitterness and greed alive in our hearts, which keeps us still somewhat connected to the world system and giving Satan authority in our life. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
I wanted to repeat this because I think the one we read earlier was really powerful. I don't know if it's here or not. But it said in the Word really clearly that until you know something is sin, then it's not sin. When you're still blind to something that you're doing and you don't realize that it's sin, then God doesn't hold it as sin against you. So you're still in His will. You still have His grace. You're still being changed into His likeness. It's when He reveals it. Okay, listen to this. I want to read this one more time. Okay, in verse 24, John 15, 24. If I did not do the works among them which no other did, they had no sin. But now that they have seen, and they still hate me and my Father, it's fulfilled the word that's been written in their law, they hated me undeservedly. And when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, that one will witness concerning me. There was one other one too that said somewhat the same thing. Let me try 941. 941. Listen, John, this is so powerful. John 9:41, Jesus says, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, in other words, if you didn't know this, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. And so the spiritual law is until God reveals a sin to you and you get it, He doesn't hold it against you. He's going to keep working in you, though, until you see it. He's going to keep on revealing. Now, if you refuse to see it and you refuse to hear Him, Satan's going to have some authority to come in and help make the process and help bring you to a place of brokenness. In other words, you're going to lose that divine protection of being in God's will if you don't open your ears to hear. It's very important as you keep your eyes on the Lord to hear what He's revealing to you. And we talked about this morning. I'm not going to go into it all again. But when that uneasiness happens, when you're seeing something in someone else, when you're trying to blame someone, when you're trying to run, when everything isn't at peace, it is an indicator from the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Deal with this. Don't come against other people. Don't sin in this. It's time to deal with it. We talked about that last night. It's very important at that time to stop everything. Make no major decisions. Yell at nobody. Do nothing. Sit down and say, God, show me what is this. And it's very helpful to talk to someone who understands the ways of God, who can help you get to it without coming in agreement with a lie or blaming other people, or who will not in love help you to see it.